gentlemen, to the Rock and Wrestling Podcast, rockwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. My name is Tyler Black. I am your host. I am the young charismatic black man right here in Chicago, Illinois, the greatest city in the world. And I am joined, as always, by my nigga, big nigga Jim.
Nigga, what's up, T-Bird?
Not shit, bro. It's been quite a week.
Hell of a week. I know. Fucking Sunday was a hell of a night.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Sunday, but let me tell you something. Oh, shit.
When did you get that Cult of Personality t-shirt?
Dude, I've had this shirt forever.
I've never seen you wear it. That's awesome.
I'm trying to find my visual prop that I wanted to show you, but I found half of it. So Saturday night, I come home from work, right?
Yeah.
And I check my mail like I usually do. And in the mail, there's a letter from the Rave in Milwaukee, and I'm looking at it. It looks like a list of all their shows. There's like Slayer and the Pixies coming up, and I open the thing a little bit wider. There's a little letter in there, and it says, "Hey, thanks for being such a loyal customer. Here's some tickets to an upcoming show." So they gave me 4 tickets to see The Offspring on Friday.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, 4 Offspring tickets in fucking Milwaukee. Which I may be able to go to, and I may not. This may go to waste.
Yeah.
But 4 free concert tickets. Nigga, I don't know 4 people.
I suggest you make 4 friends.
Yeah.
Or 3
Dude,
friends.
I can't give these tickets away. I've been asking everybody, like, hey, I got Offspring tickets. You want to go see Offspring? No, I'm going on tour that weekend. Or no, reasons. I have to work. Everybody has to work.
Yeah. That's, I don't know, that they might still be good in concert, but that song they had for fucking Elimination Chambers.
That's funny because there's a guy at work who's like the security guy, and he's a punk rock guy, and he likes wrestling. Yeah. So he's like me, but white and has a small penis. So I'm like, hey, Creed, you want to get these fucking Offspring tickets? I can't go. Do you work Friday? He's like, no, and their new song sucks. I'm like, I haven't heard their new songs. Like, you hear a theme song, Elimination Chamber? That was Offspring. I'm like, no, that wasn't Offspring.
Yeah, it was. And it sounded like shit. And I couldn't believe it was Offspring. Like, when they came back from, or when they cut away from something, and it's like, we'd like to thank Offspring for the use of their song. I was like, Offspring? And then they showed the album cover and the graphics and everything, and I'm listening to the song. I'm like, this ain't Offspring. What the fuck is happening right now? This is not Offspring. Either that or it's like that one song on their fucking new album that's just like as butt rocky as they can possibly get.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to go see that shit. Like, we just want to hear fucking Bad Habit and fucking anything from Americana or Smash.
Yeah, we gotta keep them separated. Ravens, ECW music.
Yeah, come on. Ravens, ECW music, and Brian Danielson's Ring of Honor music.
Which I thought was such, I do remember he used that. I thought that was such an odd combo for Ravens. But I found out like that was his interest music for, I would have thought it would have been like, I don't know, something fucking evil or sounding.
Yeah. Just like
Raven. I didn't think it'd be like, God, I gave us. I guess because it's like, I don't know. It's weird. Or you think he'd come out to even flow, but because of his DDT.
Yeah.
But even flow. That was a music minute.
Yeah. But yeah, so Offspring, yeah, they couldn't sell out this show, so they gave me 4 tickets.
Loyal customers tickets.
They couldn't give me tickets to go see the Pixies, but they gave me Offspring tickets.
Yeah.
Nothing against Offspring, but I've seen them at least 3 times, and you see Offspring once, you've seen them a million times.
Well, at least it seems like they're still going to be doing the show, because like, I remember hearing, this was like a couple years ago, that Limp Bizkit was doing a reunion tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a month later or something, I heard they canceled it due to lack of interest. Like, nobody was buying tickets for this show anywhere in the entire country. You might as well hang yourself after that.
they probably booked above their drawing card. Like, yeah, they're probably booking like big venues when they can only play like really mid-sized venues.
Well, I think they were supposed to. I think they were supposed to be playing the Voodoo Lounge at Harris.
Okay.
So I don't think they were even trying to keep their expectations low, just like the rest of America.
Shit, I saw you play Voodoo Lounge, so.
I know, right? I think you can play Voodoo Lounge, and your band's not that special.
Yeah.
Get off your house. It's just a big stage.
Ooh, you turned
into a robot. That's it. Like, I mean, it was fun to play there because of the size of that stage.
Yeah. I saw Get Up Kids at Voodoo Lounge. That was like the only like not you or Jesse concert I went to there.
I've never been to a concert there that didn't involve me or Jesse, I don't think.
It was weird because like Get Up Kids are back together, and that's like the Kansas City band.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't miss this shit. And they were playing Voodoo Lounge of all places. They couldn't play the Beaumont or Uptown or
somewhere you could get to.
Well, I mean, I can get to Voodoo pretty easy. Fucking TTA, the fucking metro goes there pretty regularly. Right. But it was on 9/11, and it was at Voodoo Lounge.
Oh.
Yeah, of course, it was a 21 and older show. It's like, let's watch this old emo band play some jams.
Yeah.
And not have a rowdy crowd because there's no kids there.
Mm-hmm.
And at that same show, I was standing pretty close to the stage, and this old man turns around with a camera. He's like, "Hey, I have a picture of you on my website." I'm like, "Whoa, old man. What the fuck you got a picture of me doing on your website?"
Oh,
but he saw me at an Alkaline Trio show doing like this angry face and holding up a fist and took a picture of me and had his head Alkaline Trio fan. I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." But that website is now gone. So,
well, at least he wasn't like using it in, you know, unsavory ways.
Yeah.
To like put you on a fucking like website for like creepers and shit.
Yeah. I put myself out there enough. But
you can at least easy know that knowing that old men aren't beating off to your picture.
You'd be surprised, Jim. How was your week?
Oh, it was a week. Well, you know, my weekend was actually pretty good. Friday, we took Brian's wife's little brother, Brian, you know, technically brother-in-law. We took him to go see the new Mad Max Fury Road.
That was good.
It was fucking badass, dude. It was so fucking intense. Like, there wasn't a moment in that movie where you could just, like, breathe easy for a second. They got away from the fucking gangs and, you know, we can breathe. No, there was none of that. And just when you thought it was safe to breathe, here comes more motherfuckers at these guys. In like insane fucking cars and shit. It was fucking cool. It was a cool fucking movie. And then I was house sitting for Doug and Mia while they were away this weekend. So I was living in Liberty for 2 days. You know, Sunday I went over to Brian's for Elimination Chamber, and Betsall came over and we watched that.
And now let's talk about that Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that Elimination Chamber. Oh, Kevin Owens changed wrestling forever.
Yep.
That night.
I don't give a shit about anything in life.
Yeah.
But Kevin Owens.
Yeah. It was such a good fucking match. God, dude.
Shit blow by blow, though. Let's talk about that first Elimination Chamber match.
The tag team Elimination Chamber.
The very first ever tag team Elimination Chamber match.
It was pretty dope. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It was quite interesting.
It was a lot better than the next one, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, there were some pretty cool spots, like the Lucha Dragons in Ascension started out. Sinkar did a swanton off one of the pods, but Kalisto got his foot stuck, and you're waiting for him to do this move. Nothing. Connor's on the ground for like 10 minutes waiting to be dived on.
Because the New Day had a hold of Kalisto's leg.
Yeah, And then, yeah, then he gets free and he goes to do his dive, and then they pull him down again. But they, Connor, yeah, the biggest man in the match, stays down forever.
Like, yeah, he doesn't slowly start to get up and realize, oh, I'm not, nobody's coming after me, and, you know, slowly got get up, and then they could have just wailed on fucking Sin Cara, you know, for like however long he was up there. Or until Cesaro and Kid came out.
But then Cesaro and Kid came out, and they were the shit.
Fucking cleaned house. Like, I mean, double team moves left and fucking right. European uppercuts left and fucking Cesaro right.
Cesaro ran up and uppercutted the shit out of Cliffs on top of that pod that he was still stuck
that
on.
That was fucking cool.
And then suplexed him off that shit like SmackDown fucking 6.
Yeah. Suplexed him off it, and once the impact of the suplex, here comes fucking Tyson Kidd with the springboard elbow drop.
Yep.
And then they did another fucking move where it was Tyson Kidd did a sling. Well, I think they've done this before.
Oh yeah, when he did the slingshot and Cesaro catches him into a giant swing.
Yeah, catches him, like, does the spine buster and grabs him in the swing. They've done that before. There was
I haven't seen him do that before.
Another one they did. Maybe I'm thinking of the German suplex European uppercut.
Okay.
Because, like, he fucking, remember, he, like, hit the dude German suplex, and Tyson Kidd Germaned, was it Sin Cara? I think it was Sin Cara. And then they, oh man, they were just on fucking fire, man. Like,
and then they got eliminated by the prime time players. What?
Oh my God. I turned my head for literally 2 seconds after they did the big swing drop kick. 2 seconds, and he was gone. I didn't even know what happened.
I was like, no, you were supposed to kick out. What the fuck?
My God.
It was cool that they had all three New Days in the match, because they petitioned to Corbin Kane to get into the match.
Mm-hmm.
And so all three members got to be in. They were all squeezed into one pod.
Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
But the New Day beat the shit out of the primetime players and won.
Yeah, not without trying. Primetime players were fucking on point, too.
Yeah. Everybody was on their shit except the Ascension and the Matadors.
Yeah. Like the Matadors.
The Matadors got eliminated first, and they did nothing.
I would even argue that it was just the Matadors. Like, Ascension were actually, like, you know, they were doing what they were supposed to. They do what they do best, and that's, like, be the giant bruisers.
Okay.
So I think they worked that pretty well. I mean, other than Connor laying there too long waiting for Kalisto when they were doing that spot of him holding his leg. Like, he could have gotten up and then got up there and did what Cesaro did.
Yep.
And fucking, you know, like, suplex him or, you know, throw him off the top. But, I don't know. I just don't care for the Matadors. Like, I know they're fine wrestlers, but they're
giving it shit. Yeah,
it's shit. Like, it's
the fact that I don't know who is. They're fucking the old school conquistadors.
Yeah,
like, I don't know which one is which. But they suck. I mean, they don't suck. It's just that it's stupid. They're not doing anything.
Gimmick. It's like a bad gimmick, and they need to break that off and let them try something new.
Just let them be the fucking colognes like they were. Fucking
maybe. Get rid of El Torito.
Nah, El Torito's awesome. He's a shit. Jacked up midget.
Yeah.
I had an idea for El Torito and I already forgot what it was.
Huh?
I said I had an idea for El Torito and I already forgot what it was.
Oh.
It'll probably come back to me.
I failed to see why El Torito needed to be in there other than to do that high spot.
That's the sole reason he was there.
That's it, you know.
He's still on that chamber for a while.
Yeah, he's up there the entire time. Yeah. Like, just not doing anything. Yeah. But fucking hanging out.
I hate that JBL calls him a little chimpanzee. It's fucking racist.
Yeah. Hey, and I've been meaning to ask you this for a couple weeks, and I keep forgetting to bring it up. Where are the Usos?
Jey Uso tore his shoulder. So he's playing
with WrestleMania.
That was before WrestleMania, but that's why he got taken out of the match early in WrestleMania, and Jimmy wrestled it by himself. What I don't understand is why Jimmy can't be a singles wrestler. I would have put him in the Rusev spot at the Chamber. That would have been a much better replacement than Mark Henry.
Yeah, isn't a Mark Henry?
Like, let him come out. I would have put the title on him. Just like, what could it hurt? Like, let's see how this dude does as a singles wrestler while his brother's injured. And then have a reunion. Tweak his look. He doesn't have to be completely different, but like, put the braids back in his hair or some shit. Probably wear tights instead of the jogging shorts.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
That would have been a lot more exciting a reveal if it had been anybody else but Mark Henry.
Because you really didn't have like a high flyer besides Ziggler in the other chamber.
Ziggler, who was doing everything in his power to keep that match fucking going.
But we'll get to that. Let's talk about this whole match. Now, I didn't see too much of this Women's Divas title match. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks, it was not. But the one thing that pissed me off to no end, not only did Nikki Bella retain her title, but when she put Naomi up for the rack attack, she had the biggest fucking smile on her face that said, fuck you, I'm keeping my title. And it wasn't like I'm excited that I'm winning. It was before she even hit the move. She just had this shit-eating grin on her face. I'm like, this bitch just fucking...
Just like, I fuck John Cena so I get everything in the world.
Yep, that's the exact look. John Cena's dick keeping his belt on me. Fuck that's you, Nikki Bella.
That's what's holding the belt up, is John Cena's dick. And don't go ahead and quote something that AJ Lee said. Despite contrary to popular belief, talent is not sexually transmitted. So, there you go.
Chlamydia is.
But chlamydia definitely is.
And speaking of John Cena's dick. Next up, we had John Cena versus Kevin motherfucking Owens.
Not this dick in the dirt, man. Kevin Owens is
the greatest thing in the world. And I've been saying this for the last 5 years, at least.
Yeah.
So.
First time I ever got to see Kevin Cena was the unsanctioned fight without honor that you showed me.
I believe that the first time you saw Kevin Steen was his match with Nigel McGuinness on one of the videos I gave you at a show that I was at from 2008.
It might have been, but I don't
remember. You texted me like, I just watched Kevin Steen versus Nigel McGuinness and now I'm a fan.
Okay.
I remember I told Steen that when I met him for the first time.
Okay. I don't remember that match as vividly as I do the fight without honor, because fucking him and Generico, Sami Zayn, like, beat the holy hell out of each other. And I remember being at your place watching it.
Mm-hmm.
We still lived here.
Yep.
So I'm not denying I didn't see that match or anything. I don't remember it as vividly as that one, because that was a fucking brutal fucking match.
Oh yeah.
So I like
their Last Man Standing match when Jimmy Jacobs came out and turned heel on him on El Generico. And fucking
I don't think I ever got to see it though. But I remember what happened.
Jimmy Jacobs hits Generico with a chair and Generico falls over really slow and Kevin falls with him. He just mocked him. It's so fucking funny. And then he kisses a man at the end of the match, which is always awesome.
Always awesome to be kissing men.
Yep. If it feels right, that's what you're into. Go ahead and do it.
Go on, kiss you a man.
Never kiss another man.
Yeah. But yeah, fucking. God, like I was shocked. I was so shocked.
This match was the shit. Now, how many times did I tell you that these niggas would have a good match?
Oh, I know. Yeah. And I never doubted you for a minute.
Yeah. I just want to let the record state that I said that shit like a month ago.
T-Bird called it. Vince stole it. I don't know. Maybe you got something there, pal. You know?
So Kevin Owens did sign a full-time main roster deal, so that nigga's here to stay.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's going to be doing both now?
Yep, he's going to be doing both.
Whoa. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to run him ragged, though, but that's still awesome.
This match went 21 minutes. They hit every move. fucking Kevin Steen almost did the package power driver, but turned it into like a power bomb. Like,
power bomb, kind of kind of like a suplex.
My dick went like this.
And yeah, like, it fucking.
I was watching this on the bus, and I was like, and people started looking at me because he hooked.
You almost had to grab and fuck the person next to you.
I almost did, Jim, but I had to contain myself.
Just on principle.
If he hit it, then I would have did it like Vampiro, how he throws down his headset and just runs around the fucking Lucha Underground temple.
Yeah,
that would have been me on the bus.
No. You know, Brian had never seen Kevin Owens before. I've constantly told him about him.
Brian, you don't watch NXT? What the fuck?
I'm
paying for his network and you're not watching NXT.
He just got all, and it's going to be harder for him now because he just downloaded like all 8 seasons of Entourage because he hadn't seen it.
Why would you do that to yourself? That's Sex and the City for dudes.
He said it was okay, but then he tweeted last night that he was just like, now this show just sucks because they got all geeked out over a YouTube concert in the show. And I'm like, well, I guess if you're going to hate a show for any reason, that's probably the best reason. But yeah, so he's never seen
him. So Kevin Steen is Doug the Wrestler.
Yeah. And so I have told him, and I showed him that video, the 25 greatest Kevin Steen moves. But this was like a while ago. So I think the exact point in that match where he was just like, fucking this guy is awesome, was when he did that fucking springboard changing moonsault.
Oh, yeah. The fucking twisting moonsault.
Second rope down backwards and moonsaulted. Like, I think that's what.
Lost my shit when I saw him do that. Because I've seen him do moonsaults. Yeah. And I've seen him do springboard moonsaults. But I've never seen him do it like that.
Yeah. It was fucking spectacular. And he did the Swanton.
Mm-hmm.
He did do the Swanton. God damn, there was just such a fucking.
Only thing he didn't do was an outside dive. Other than that, he did most of his big shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been great for him to see him do the what he used to call F Sank.
Oh yeah.
Do the F5. What was that move that he did? Has he ever done that? I don't think I've ever seen him do it, but it was like he did it. It was like the gunslinger that Billy Gunn used to do, and like flipped him around his back and grabbed his legs and then like dumped him on his head.
Yeah, it was kind of like a Kryptonite crunch.
Yeah. Okay.
He did it on Finn Balor when they wrestled.
That was fucking cool. Has he ever done that before?
Yeah, he did it on Finn Balor when they had their match.
Okay.
Nigga has like 100 moves, so.
I know. That's what I like. Man, like and now they're doing a fucking rematch at Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Oh my God. Like, they just found like the ultimate guy to go against John Cena.
Oh yeah.
Like, nobody else can do this now.
They found the doomsday to his Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, John Cena's going to die and then come back in like several different forms and then ultimately come back as Superman, but with like a mullet. So there's going to be Cena Boy. There's going to be a steel version of him.
There's going to be Eradicator.
The Eradicator. So there's going to be a John Cena with like big, weird yellow goggles on. And then the fucking the cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be like an evil cyborg John Cena, which I look forward to seeing. I very much look forward to seeing. I will cheer for that John Cena. Evil cyborg John Cena.
I'm gonna cheer for the Metropolis Kid John Cena.
The Metropolis Kid.
Yeah.
Cena Boy.
Yeah, Cena Boy.
Wrestling just got a whole lot more interesting.
Oh yeah.
And then
Kevin Owens even did a five knuckle shuffle and a FU.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he didn't get to do all of it, but he did enough of it to where it was cool that he did it, because John Cena jumped up and tried to put him in the F5 again. Or the FU. Yeah. The AA. whatever. But Kevin Owens did do it.
I did like when Kevin went for the pack up, not the pack up, the pop up power bomb, and John Cena leapfrogged. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
The Avalanche Fisherman Buster was awesome.
Oh yeah! Off the second rope.
Yeah, that was fucking.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Fucking Kevin was bumping his ass off for John Cena, doing flippy bumps for clotheslines. Mm-hmm. For John Cena's shitty clothes.
Yeah. you actually believed his clotheslines for once.
Yeah, because somebody knows how to bump.
That's the power of fucking Kevin Steen right there. Like, he just made John Cena actually look like Superman this time.
But John Cena went for one shitty clothesline too many, got pop up powerbomb for all of his efforts.
What the hell?
And then
straight to hell.
Yep. And then pop up powerbomb straight to hell. I think he turned into dust because he was gone when Kevin Owens went to grab the mic, cut his promo. That nigga was invisible.
Yeah.
He was dead. He said, when I made my debut, I said, people who didn't know my name weren't worth my time. Now everybody knows who Kevin Owens is. And John Cena, it's time for you to go away because your time is way up and my time is now, and the champ is here.
Oh, fucking so good. God, it was so good.
Yeah.
And then it got really bad for a little bit.
We had a nothing Bo Dallas Adrian Neville match.
Yeah. Just an excuse to have everyone see the Red Arrow.
Yeah.
And then they did the same match on Raw. We'll go ahead and spoil that part of Raw.
I'm not talking about shit about Raw because Raw was a piece of shit. We'll talk a little bit. We're not going to run through Raw like we just did.
No, there's no point to.
Yeah. But we had a very long, boring Elimination Chamber match.
The most boring Elimination Chamber match.
Oh, dude, I fell asleep 3 times.
I didn't know it was fucking possible to have a boring Elimination Chamber match.
It was a piece of shit.
But boy, did they fucking prove me wrong. They put all the wrong people in that fucking thing, except for Dolph Ziggler, who, like I said before, tried his goddamnedest to keep that fucking match afloat. Mark Henry came back because Rusev fucking broke his foot.
Rusev would have made that match better, because I think Rusev should have won, because Ryback winning doesn't make much sense, because he had no storyline going into this. He just lost to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know Rusev was going to win that match.
Yeah, it would have been a lot better.
So now we got this weird Lana angle with nothing to do because the main person that's supposed to be there isn't there.
Yeah.
So now we just got Lana walking around behind Dolph Ziggler for no apparent reason.
Yeah. She needs to maybe change up what she's wearing. What kind of...
This is my idea for Lana, all right? If you want to turn a baby face. We like to call this segment My Fair Lana. Now, it's been a while since WWE has done character pieces like this, where we develop a character instead of just having weird, awkward backstage conversations or boring in-ring promos. Let's have a character piece. We have a gentleman. We'll say William Regal teaches Lana how to speak proper English and turn her into a perfect lady. Then we have someone that's very American, like Bradshaw, to try to be an American. And we could transform Lana from a Russian ice cunt into an American blonde bombshell with big titties and
a fucking perfect ass. Bounce a fucking quarter off that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
God damn that ass.
She can keep her pencil skirt and heels. And she'll wear like the Deborah where she has like this bra under her blazer and shit. Yeah.
That's where my love of
let her hair down.
That's where my love of ladies' business suit started, was with Deborah. It's like, oh damn. You're professional, but like you look like you want to get down, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
But you can also file my taxes.
What about Miss Hancock?
Oh man. Stacey Keebler, fucking yeah. All day long with that woman. Why George Clooney fucking, what the fuck, man?
Because George Clooney isn't a real person. I don't know if you know this, but he's a marketing tool that they just use to sell magazines to lonely single women, and he cycles through bitches, so it's like any bitch can get with George Clooney, so he'll get a bitch for a little while, take some pictures. You know? They'll go to like premieres, and then it's like, all right, bitch, it's time for the next bitch, and the next bitch comes in, and it's like, oh, here we go.
Bitch, it's time for the next bitch. He's on, bitch.
Yeah, so Stacey Keibler had her run. It was like the world title.
She had a good run.
She had her run with George Clooney's
penis. Well, Clooney's married now, so we'll see how long that lasts
until it's time for the next bitch. See, the reason he got married is so like women could see his wedding pictures. That's it. It's like, oh, we don't have any wedding pictures of George Clooney. Let's get some with some Polish bitch or some whoever the fuck she's from.
Every time I see a picture of that woman, she looks like so disinterested in everything, every aspect of life or something. I don't know. She's just dead. Her face is just dead.
Because she's not a real bitch. She's
not a real bitch.
She's a prop.
Yeah.
She's like Lana with Dolph Ziggler. Like, you know them niggas ain't together. You know them niggas don't like each other.
Yeah.
And if Dolph Ziggler even like kisses her way too passionately, Rusev is gonna murder him. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to fuck with that nigga's pussy.
Yeah, no, fucking have him break my back and make me humble.
You ever see Lana's Instagram page?
I have not.
Where it's like her and Rusev like on the beach and shit, or her and Rusev at the basketball game, or her and Rusev at brunch.
Motherfucker, ain't she supposed to be the Bulgarian brute? Bulgarian brutes can't eat brunch. Brutes don't eat brunch. Just but like somehow
it fits
sweet.
Better than Undertaker doing yoga with Michelle McCool and wearing shirts to say the Callaways on it.
I saw that. Oh, that was kind of heartbreaking. Like, God damn it, Taker, what are you doing?
Goose Taker.
You are the Lord of fucking darkness.
I could see Rusev being pussy whipped more than I could see Undertaker being pussy whipped.
Oh yeah, no, there. I mean, he might be wearing that shirt, and he, you know, he probably, I'm sure he loves her, and just wore that shirt to, you know, make her happy. I'm pretty sure that fucking Taker is the one wearing pants in that family. Like, it just, I can't see Undertaker taking the shit of man nor woman. Like, ever. Like, even, like, just, like, in a real-world scenario, I just can't see him bothering with that shit. You know, like, you can either do two things. You can stop talking and continue living this fucking insanely rich life we have, or you can shut up, or you can leave. Just go and go off into poverty or whatever. That's fine. But I don't see him fucking taking any shit from anybody ever. So
he did threaten to stab Michael Cole in the face one time. So
I would believe that he would do that.
That's my favorite moment of the Big Show Undertaker tag team. They were on commentary and Michael Cole asked Undertaker a question. Undertaker responded, "Michael Cole, you want me to stab you in the face for asking some dumb question like that?" I'm like, "Hallelujah, Undertaker. Thank you for that."
I did like when they were tagging together for a while back then.
Because Undertaker was injured and he didn't do shit. He would just sit on commentary and talk shit for 15 minutes.
And then I actually thought they were about to get, before he left and then came back and was the American Badass. I thought they were going to put together the Ministry of Darkness, but with Kane. Because there was a moment they went backstage, and it was the last time I saw him. It was like the last time he was on screen until fucking Armageddon. Was it Judgment Day? I thought it was Armageddon when he came back.
Judgment Day, 2000.
Okay. Well, regardless, I didn't see him until then. And then he was hanging out with it was Big Show and Kane was there. This is when he still had the mask on. And I want to say Midian was there.
Because I remember Triple H had to wrestle everybody in a six-pack challenge to get into the six-pack match for the title because Vince had won the title and vacated it. And he was supposed to wrestle Undertaker in a casket match, but Undertaker made him wrestle Midian and Viscera instead. Because Undertaker wasn't about to do that shit.
No.
Like, I ain't wrestling on no goddamn SmackDown. Fuck this.
But
that's enough of that shit. Let's talk about this. Ryback won. Spoiler. I ain't talking about that boring ass Sheamus match again. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the world title.
It was fucking awesome.
It was awesome to a dusty ass finish.
Yeah, that Dusty Rhodes finish.
Yeah.
But
I freaked out. I was like, whoa, shit. And I was excited for 2 seconds. I was like, wait, yeah. Dusty finish is coming.
Yeah, I started getting up. I started getting up cheering. I'm like, wait. They're going to fucking do something.
I forgot what company it was for a second. If this was Ring of Honor, I'm like, oh, yeah, this would be awesome. But no, this is not Ring of Honor. Titles don't just change all of a sudden and get you all excited and let you enjoy the moment. No, we got to fuck you.
No, we can only change titles fucking twice a year.
Which I'm not opposed to. But I'd rather get no title changes than fake cock tease title changes.
Yeah, like, I don't want it to change, like, every month or anything, but, you know, maybe every few months? It would be nice to fucking kind of have a little bit of more competition. Somebody could win the belt different. I don't know.
I've watched this with my friend who doesn't watch wrestling, and I freaked out when the ref counted three and the bell rang and he handed the bell. I'm like, oh shit. And he's like, so what? Is that who you want to win? I'm like, this is a title change. Like, this shit doesn't happen. He's like, oh, yeah. I guess that's a big deal then. I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That referee got knocked out. And that's not the original ref. They're probably going to say some shit like, oh, not the real ref, some shit like that. Or
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But they did that shit immediately. Disqualified Seth and then gave him back the belt. But Dean Ambrose is like, oh, I want this match. I'm keeping this title. And he left through the crowd.
Yeah, with Roman Reigns.
With Roman Reigns, who beat up everybody.
Yeah. And who didn't have a match at that pay-per-view.
He did not. He was supposed to be in his corner, but then they changed the plan.
Yeah. So at Money in the Bank, they're going to have a separate ladder match for the...
Which I kind of predicted. I didn't say anything, but I had an idea that they were going to do a ladder match between those two.
Really?
Because there was a ladder match last year and a Money in the Bank ladder match, so...
Oh, there was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yes, there was. So, that. Next time on Raw, stuff happened, but Kevin Owens was there, which is the important thing. Tell me about the Kevin Owens promo.
He basically came out and started talking about how, you know, how he beat John Cena, and he had to explain to his son, who's a huge John Cena fan, that he was going to hurt John Cena, and... He started, like, he basically cut a heel promo on his own son for being a John Cena fan, which was great. That, like, you know, he should be idolizing me, but instead he's idolizing you and this and that. And then that's when John Cena came out and told him that he wasn't a man. And
John Cena's such a dick. He played the my fans have cancer card. So you can't talk shit about like me or my fans, and it's like,
yeah.
Now he can't say anything because then he's like a super dick for saying "fuck your cancer fans." It's like you put him in an awkward situation.
That would be like but he fucking he got through it. He got through it. He found a way around it, but like no, he could have like.
And John Cena played the ultimate dick card where he's like, "See what happened was."
But you beat me,
and I was going to come out here and congratulate you and give you this U.S. title, but you know what? You fucked it up with your mouth.
Yeah.
Like John Cena, don't lie. You're about to hand him this shit. Like,
just going to give him the title.
Yeah, just going to give him the belt. And we didn't get an open challenge tonight. I was kind of disappointed in that. We get three Roman Reigns matches, but no open challenge.
Three Roman Reigns matches. One with Bray Wyatt that I was like, wow, Bray. Why weren't you there the night before? You could have fucking... You and Dolph Ziggler together could have saved that Elimination Chamber match, maybe. He should have been the guy to replace Rusev!
Yeah, I heard that he was probably going to be the guy, but...
Now I'm really fucking mad, because I was just like... God damn it. I don't know. Fuck that. That match was shit. So fucking
bad. Didn't I just say we're not talking about that match ever again?
Well, I'm... bringing it up again. It was horrible. Now we can move on. That's all I want to say about it. But
Raw had no Tyson Kidd, who wrestled a dark match with Samoa Joe.
No, did he really?
Yep. Samoa Joe signed a full-time deal, by the way.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard that. That's fucking cool.
No Cesaro. Barely any Dean Ambrose to the very end. We get to see Roman Reigns 50 times.
Yep. Make sure that everybody's cheering for him. Don't forget to cheer for Roman Reigns, guys. So,
but we got this Elimination Chamber card shaping up. Not Elimination Chamber. What's the next pay-per-view?
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. That's right.
So do they already have the participants for the Money in the Bank?
They have more to announce. But right now, the official card is John Cena versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
In the Money in the Bank match, we have Ziggler, Neville, Roman, Randy, Kofi, and Sheamus. Hopefully, they put a couple more in there. I don't know who you'll put in. Finn Balor.
Maybe Bray.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they could do something with one of the best guys on their roster. I mean, sounds crazy. I know it's a weird idea, but...
Okay, I have another wild prediction. Who runs WWE?
Vince?
Vince McMahon, right. What do you think the odds are that he's going to let two fat bearded dudes in t-shirts have prominent spots on his show?
Probably not good.
I don't see good things coming in Bray Wyatt's future.
And that's fucking bullshit.
Now, for the record, Kevin Owens is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to I will throw Bray Wyatt under a moving train if it meant saving Kevin Owens. But that's nothing against Bray Wyatt. I love Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's a shit. But Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
That nigga's a blowjob with the balls cupped.
To be fair, though, Kevin Owens, like, he's trimming down.
He is
like,
trimming down.
He's a lot, you know, so.
But he's still Mr. Band fat.
Yeah.
But I know Triple H is a big fan of both guys. You can tell by all them fucking selfies them niggas take. Like, they might as well be holding dicks in them because.
Yeah.
These niggas be close as hell, hugging and shit. If I was Korean Steen, I'd be like, hey, chill that shit out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What'd you think of that mini documentary I sent you?
Oh, that was cool.
From YouTube. That was pretty
cool. Yeah, that was cool. I like that a lot. Yeah.
You see Kevin getting off the airplane.
As I was watching, I was like, why didn't they make this longer and just put it on the network?
Yeah.
Remember how they have the WWE network now?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, it's not just for free pay-per-views and backlog stuff.
You never know. They might do it. He may have like a big match with Cena for SummerSlam. What I predict is this is like he beats the shit out of him and takes him out match. And so there's no match for the July pay-per-view. And then they have the rematch at SummerSlam.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So instead of
like John Cena, like John Cena's out for
a month. Like,
comes back right before SummerSlam. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. And then they have the big match. They could have like a stipulation or some shit. Cause it's SummerSlam. You gotta go big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do a steel cage because steel cage matches suck. Last Man Standing would probably be the best because the Last Man Standing matches in WWE usually are always good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Something like that. That'll probably be the best thing. You can do Street Fight. Maybe they do
Three Stages of Hell.
Yeah.
And then you get like 2 out of 3 falls, but all gimmick matches. Like on fucking... I really wish they hadn't taken that off the game. That was like one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Was playing Three
Stages. And they just had one, didn't they? With like Cena and Orton. Didn't they have a Three Stages of Hell like a year ago?
Did they?
I thought they did.
I don't think they did.
I think they just wrestled like a million times.
Yeah, they just wrestled a million times. So it felt like we were in Three Stages of Hell.
Yeah, we were in the Seventh Circle of Hell.
Yeah.
Watching fucking
Cena and Randy Orton. Shit, man, maybe they could do...
I don't see him doing a Three Stages of Hell just because of time.
Yeah, probably not. But it, you know, it'd be awesome if they put a cage inside the Hell in a Cell, but without dogs this time. That could be fucking fun. Maybe they do that.
I don't see.
Maybe they bring back the triple stack cage from WCW. That thing was like, that match was dumb just because it wasn't dumb. It was actually a pretty good match. If you take away from the fact that David Arquette was the WCW champion at the time.
And he had the most pointless heel turn at the end of that match for no fucking reason.
Oh, I know.
Because Vince Russo. That was Vince Russo.
But
we got like that match was cool.
And I got to see that shit live at Kemper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see the triple sack cage live, and it was fucking cool as shit. And Mike Awesome fucking Awesome Bomb Canyon off the top of the Hell in a Cell part.
Yeah.
And he went like right through the entrance ramp, and everybody got kind of shocked that he did it and almost kind of offended because it was like the first wrestling anything we had gotten since Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And
that's not true because the first SmackDown was there a couple months after Owen Hart died.
What? Yeah, I guess it was, yeah, but I don't know. Like, well, it was
99, and the one was in May of 99.
Yeah, well, it was mainly it was just like everybody was shocked that it happened because of Owen. Like,
yeah.
Whenever he fucking fell off that fucking got power bombed off that cage, I think people got kind of upset. I know I remember hearing a couple people in the crowd being like, I'm offended, like, he was blah, 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 you know, like, we just had somebody die because they fell off of something. I heard people in the crowd saying that shit.
Well, Canyon didn't die, so, well, he did, but he didn't then.
He did eventually.
Yeah, RIP my nigga Canyon.
Yeah. Who's better than Canyon?
I just made the Jersey Triad on WWE 2K15 on PC.
Did you really?
So I got that DLC and that DDP and Bam Bam. I'm like, I gotta put them together. I'm like, what the fuck else am I gonna do?
Gotta make Canyon.
I don't know if we only get 50 creator wrestler spots. They did expand it from 25, which is what it was originally, but on the PC version, they expanded that shit to 50.
That's still stupid.
It's not that bad.
Considering all the spots you had in the last game.
But the creator wrestler quality is much higher in this game than it ever was before.
The quality of them?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because like, I know I watched like a ton of YouTube clips of them, and they look like really polished. Like, the shirts don't look... You know how the fucking, like, the untucked shirts look so big and shitty?
Yeah.
That I never use them. It's always like the tuck-in shirt because it just looks better. Or the
super tight Hardy Boy shirt.
Yeah, yeah. but it's just like, it just looks better because I don't know why. And it's looked like those for years.
Yeah.
Even while GameCube, the game they had on GameCube, fucking whatever that game was, and I can't think of it now.
Dead Reckoning.
That's it. Thank you. The shirts on that one, like all the creative parts on that one, look perfect because it was like pretty much like an updated version of WrestleMania 2000 and No Mercy and shit. So it looked awesome and it was fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
I can never figure out why they could never change the look of those shirts after all these years. They just look like, I know, like, you people have eyes, you're making a video game, you can see these t-shirts fucking suck, right? They look like shit. Nobody has a t-shirt this fucking huge.
Yeah, but the best part about that game is the modding system. Like, people are, like, going hardcore making mods for this shit.
What are they doing with it?
Updating attire, so, like, the New Day looks like the New Day.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, fucking Sheamus has a mohawk.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool. Does he have the braids in the...
Yes, he does.
Sideburns? Wow.
People are nerds, so they have time to do this shit while I'm busy getting late.
Yeah.
Working a job.
Being out in the world.
Spending my day working hard on the go.
Having a life. But somebody, some vigilant, sexless motherfucker out there is making mods for this and piecing together all 90s Raw week after week after week.
Because the WWE Network will not play the Oddities theme song, so I can't watch Oddities matches.
Oh, I guess they couldn't, huh?
Yeah.
They'd have to pay them.
Yeah, that's also why ECW on the network sucks.
What?
So that's also why ECW on the network sucks.
I know. I don't understand why they can't just use Rob Van Dam's WWE theme.
What do they use?
They don't. Not that. Mm-hmm. They don't use that. I know. It's like a fucking shitty. I don't even know. Like, it doesn't even sound like Walk. Like, it's not even like a parody of Walk, where it's just barely changed slightly so they can't get sued.
Yeah.
It's just shit. Like, go and watch one, because it's not RVD's music. I know that, and I don't understand why they can't use that, because they own it.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, because I'm going to go pee. You know what they say about that damn Baja Blast? You don't buy it, you rent it.
Oh, hell yeah.
So let's talk about something before we talk about this Russell Madness movie, because we got a little bit of time. My favorite time of the year, Riot Fest lineup is out.
Oh, yeah. Brian was reading that the other day. There's like some good fucking people on that.
I'm kind of disappointed. There's not a lot really? Usually there's at least one bucket list band on there, and they didn't do it this year.
Who all's on it this year?
I got it right in front of me. So right. Headliner, the number one headliner on Riot Fest, no doubt.
Ew.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I didn't even know they were still together. I thought Gwen Stefani like dumped them years ago.
Yeah. To pursue Modest shit. Mouse, Faith No More, Question Marks, who hopefully is a better band than No Doubt, Iggy Pop, who I saw play a couple years ago, Snoop Doggy Dogg, who's not punk rock.
Oh.
Damian Marley, Motorhead, Rancid, Tenacious D, who I'd like to see.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Billy Idol, Ice Cube, and special guests playing Straight Outta Compton. Alkaline Trio, Coheed and Cambria, two of my favorite bands. Taking Back Sunday, who's played every year for like the last 3 years. I like Taking Back Sunday. I don't need to see him every year.
Mm-hmm.
Rodrigo and Gabriella, I don't know who that is. Drive Like Jehu, I don't know who that is. Merle Haggard, I didn't know was still alive. I thought Merle Haggard was dead.
That's kind of did too. That's country as fuck. Why is that at Riot Fest?
Because that's outlaw country.
That is outlaw country. Yeah.
Flogging Molly.
All right, I'm actually seeing them. Oh shit! When am I seeing them? June 9th, they're coming.
That's like a couple.
I think that's this week.
Yeah.
Or next week.
A week from today.
Yep.
Slightly Stupid, L7, Alexis on Fire, Thrice, who I'd love to see because they're back together, and Thrice is awesome. Dirty Heads, Question Mark, a lot of fucking reggae. Stephen Marley, The Academy Is, who sucks. Lawrence Arms, who's awesome. Congos, who sucks. Cypress Hill, Anthrax, Echo and the Bunnymen, Bootsy Collins, The Damned, who'd be awesome to see. Yellow Wolf, Pennywise, who I've never seen. That's probably my one bucket list. I've never seen Pennywise live, and Pennywise is always good. The Airborne Toxic Event, Manchester Orchestra, Eagles of Death Metal, Devil Wears Prada, who sucks and is really into Jesus. De La Soul, Andrew McMahon, Mayday Parade, New Politics, Jimmy Cliff, Against Me, another one of my favorites. Question Marks, Babes in Toyland, OK Go, Bayside, Mess, Andrew W.K., who plays every year. Desaparecidos, fronted by Connor Oberst. And I'd love to see Connor Oberst live, but not with that band.
Yeah.
The Joy Formidable, Dead Milkman, who's awesome. Atreyu, Fiddlar, Melancholin, awesome band from like Sweden or some shit. They're like a Swedish punk band.
Yeah. Yeah.
American Nightmare, Screwdriver, Lee Scratch Perry, Guar, who plays every year, Less Than Jake, The Expendables, question marks, Living Color playing CM Punk's theme song.
And then getting off stage immediately, because that's all anybody came for.
Yeah, that's their only song. Like, there weren't enough black people on this riot. The Thurston Moore Band, Morgan Heritage Lifetime, Fishbone, more black people. Death, Doomtree Hum, Terrace Riley. See, I'm feeling old now because I don't know any of these bands. I know Every Time I Die, Deer Hunter, who's awesome, Kevin Devine, Mustard Plug, The Ataris. I know they were still together. Any other bands that I know? Knuckle Puck, they're from Chicago. Teenage Bottle Rocket, good punk band. And it's the bottom bands that I don't know because I'm an old man. But yeah, that's the Riot Fest lineup. I think Denver has the best lineup.
Huh. That sounds pretty good. It sounds a lot better than Rockfest does every single year.
Rockfest usually sucks.
Yeah, unless you're a fucking giant Tool. So
ironically, Tool not playing Rockfest.
Yeah, and if you're a giant Tool, then you probably enjoy going to Rockfest.
Did Rockfest already happen?
Yeah, it was this last Saturday.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, there was like a shit ton of people. I saw like an overhead view of it. Tech Nine was there, which
was he with strange. Jesse's band?
No. No. But, no, that dude's actually fucking with another band that he's fucking duped into thinking he's like the greatest thing on two legs. I love that fucking Jesse's band did their, when they were Evelyn Awake and Jesse was in it, they did this. And now that he's in this new band, they did this. They have like, their fucking posters are like, you know, Evelyn Awake featuring Tyler Lyon from the Leo Project. Like off to the side in like big bold letters. I'm like, why would anybody care at all? Like, I just don't get it. Like, you're a fucking local band guy. Like, you're not Jesus. You're not doing anything like revolutionary.
I officially hate Rockfest because their website just redirects to 98.9 The Rock and it shows like the pictures from Rockfest. I can't see who was there.
It was Papa Roach. Gross. I know was there because this is 2002. I remember liking the first album, and I can admit that, you know, because there was a lot of bands I liked their first album, and then once they kept going, it was just shit. Like Linkin Park, like I liked their first album, and then it's like every album after that they kept coming out with was just a remix of their first album. I'm like, what are you doing?
So no, they released their first album, then they released a remix album, then they released their second album.
I kept seeing remix albums. I remember seeing two different remix albums. And then just being like, once I saw the second one, I'm like, all right, you guys are done. But they weren't there. Papa Roach was there. Rob Zombie was there. And I heard Rob Zombie just phoned it in like as much as he possibly could. Did he
play the ECW theme song?
Probably not.
Does probably he not play White Zombie songs?
Probably not. I've never seen him in concert. I would assume he's probably only doing his shit.
Did he play the Ed song?
Probably, because that's like one of his.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'm asking you, like, he probably, who went?
Yeah. Yeah, so he was there. Anthrax was there, which is like the only band I would have paid money to see. That's it. Was Anthrax. And I've seen Anthrax in concert, and they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Another fucking No Five Finger Death Punch, surprisingly, yeah, this year. Yeah, I
think Thunder Kiss 65 was the ECW song, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he played that shit. He also played Blitzkrieg Bop.
Oh, he must have a
version of that.
We have a version of that. So.
And Sex Machine by James Brown and We're an American Band by Grand Funk Railroad and Enter Sandman. This is a lot of weird covers, Rob Zombie. What are you doing?
Yeah. Maybe some of them. I think at least the James Brown one may have been on the soundtrack for House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay.
I think. So I remember having that soundtrack. I heard he just phoned it in from like everybody that I knew that went, said it just sucked. I know my buddy Robert went there like last minute. He wasn't going to go. And then like last minute I get on Facebook and he's like, anybody got an extra ticket for Rockfest? And then next thing I know, I get back on Facebook like a couple hours later and he's there. So he probably, knowing him, he probably fucking sweet talked some old lady at the fucking front gate and she let him in. So that's how he got into Mayhem Fest. That's how him and my buddy Jack got into Mayhem Fest a couple of years ago. Was they fucking sweet talk the fucking old lady at the gate and fucking, or no, they sweet talk this fucking blonde that was working the parking lot booth into letting him get in. And then he fucking sweet talked even further to get actually into fucking Sandstone. And they showed up right at Slayer or the end of Motorhead. I think it was like the middle of Motorhead.
Okay.
So, but, I know it's just like a bunch of shitty bands that I don't care about. And then everybody wants to ask me, why don't you go to Rockfest? You're like a rock guy. It's like, because I like good rock bands. Okay. Like, is that what you want to fucking hear? You want me to be a dick? Fine.
I came really close to buying a 1 day Lollapalooza ticket to just see Brand New. But then they announced that they're playing an after party. And that's really all I want to see is Brand New.
Oh, wow. Where's the after party at?
House of Blues.
Oh,
my favorite venue, because the floor shakes with all the people jumping and you feel like you're going to die.
That's
the best atmosphere to see a rock concert.
I love to be in a constant state of worry that I might die.
Yeah. I haven't been to the House of Blues since I saw Courtney Love for free.
Oh, wow.
Because her band came to Target and gave me tickets.
Hole?
No, it was just Courtney Love and her backing band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know she just went out like by herself. I thought, all I know of Courtney Love is Hole.
Well, she played Hole songs.
Oh, wow.
And I cracked a bitch when she had to play Doll Parts. It's like, come on, Courtney Love. You know that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Fuck out
of here. That's the only reason anybody was there, was to hear Hole. Because their fucking lives suck, I guess. I don't know.
Or they remember the 90s very well.
They remember the 90s very well, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good show.
And how her band skyrocketed right after her husband died. So you gotta wonder.
Yeah, her set consists of all Hole songs, a Leonard Cohen song, and a Fleetwood Mac song. So.
Yeehaw.
I had to look that up just for the record.
She was in like the last season of Sons of Anarchy. She had like a really small, yeah, she had a really small part as Jax's son's preschool teacher.
And did she kill her husband?
No. She was like surprisingly nice as a character, at least. But she could have sucked, you know, behind the scenes.
Well, she was decent in Man on the Moon.
She was good in Private Parts. She was good in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, she didn't suck. It was kind of weird because it's like the final season. Now you want to like throw all these celebrity guest stars in here, just get them in.
I guess it's all the people that were fans of the show, probably. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about something that's not entertaining. Russell Madness. Whoa, WrestleMania.
Oh my god.
Just like that. Just like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh my god, this was just like, I don't know.
Did we just get a Meemaw running? What was that?
Yeah, she came in to ask me something.
Oh, okay.
We can edit that out.
I didn't know, because I was busy singing the WrestleMania theme, so.
Yeah. She came in and asked me if I was sure. She wanted to save a piece of chicken for later. So I was like, yeah. So,
hell yeah, save a piece of chicken for later. And it better be the big piece of chicken.
Yeah. I think it is. That's probably, I think it's a drumstick. But it's a big one, so. Anyway. This fucking craziness.
So
Russell Madness
Mania
drove me to fucking madness.
It wasn't that bad.
Beg to differ.
The movie starts out being narrated by Russell, the Jack Russell Terrier. Yeah.
Real quick, before we get into that, can we just please address that this was made by Air Bud Entertainment?
Air Bud has its own studio.
Dog. So I guess, like, I didn't know this, but I guess every dog movie or fucking pet movie you see is done by these guys now.
Well, they have the Air Buddies series. Then they had, like, the Snow Buddies.
Super Buddies.
The Super Buddies, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess every talking animal movie, these guys have their hand in it. They've got a monopoly on it.
Also, like, did fucking Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook pay them a shitload of money? Because they said Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, and Instagram at least 50 times in this movie.
Yeah, and iPhone. Constantly using fucking.
Yep, they did Apple. Not try to hide that Apple logo on their computer. That shit was front and center. Thank you, Apple, for your shining endorsement. My company, Samsung, all our products are in the new Jurassic Park movie. Yours is in the Russell Madness movie.
Yeah, yours is in Russell Madness. So think about that and cry while you die.
Oh, Russell Madness. This was a good movie.
Oh man, no, this wasn't good. It was like good on the level of like, this is insane, kind of funny, but only funny in like an ironic way.
Yeah. I mean, but it kind of went downhill really fast. Like,
yeah,
it kind of started out pretty whimsical and like the family acted normal. It wasn't like these weird WWE films.
They've acted like overly happy robots, overly optimistic robots. And the dad, when they went back to the fucking like wrestling arena that he fucking spent his childhood in, the dad had a look on his face through like the whole first half of the movie that looked like he either wanted to run away or yell at his kids and wife.
Which is normal, right? That's how dads are supposed to act.
Or
he wanted to go get some cigarettes and never come back.
Yeah, or he wanted to like hang himself above the ring by the neck.
Well, he did have to go to Portland.
I don't know.
I'd be pissed off if I had to move my family. These fucking movie wills. Like, this is the second movie we had in a row with a weird condition to it, or what do you call it? I don't even know. A clause or some shit. Provisions.
Yeah.
Like
last request, whatever you want.
It's like it. First one is like, hey, you have $3 million if you and your brothers all work together with a successful business for 2 years. And this one is like, it's like, hey, you get this wrestling arena that we used to have that's run to shit, and you can't sell it until you make a profit. Like, come on. In 2015, no wrestling company is making a profit. Sorry.
Yeah.
You got fucked.
Yeah, because...
At least there's a house inside this wrestling arena, because that shit is useless to you.
Yeah.
So let's take it from the beginning. Russell, the Jack Russell Terrier, narrates his early days in the pet shop. He's the runt of the litter, and whenever this little girl picks him up, pees right in her face. Awesome.
Yeah. And then the next guy picks him up and pees on him.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then it keeps happening. and then the novelty wears off pretty goddamn fast. I could even say the novelty wasn't even there when the first piss happened. I didn't laugh like at all. I was just like, oh, it's a dog piss. We've seen this joke before. Please move on. But they didn't. They wanted to make goddamn sure that you saw this joke and you got this joke.
Yeah.
The dog's peeing on people.
Well, it comes into play later on, though, right?
Yeah. The piss rules this entire... You might as well just call this piss madness. Because that's all it was.
We need our family.
Piss and banana madness. I swear to God, if that monkey fucking brought up... like.
This is like the most stereotypical monkey movie ever. Like, if I was a monkey, I'd be offended by this shit.
Yeah, I was ready to choke that monkey by the end of the fucking movie.
Like, everything that came out of his mouth was a goddamn banana reference. Like, I want a banana popsicle.
Or Spank the Monkey.
I missed Spank the Monkey. I didn't even hear that one.
What? You didn't hear Spank the Monkey?
Nope.
You didn't get that joke?
I didn't hear it. I missed it.
Oh. Well, I said Spank the Monkey. See, it would have been really funny if you could have heard it the first time. But now I'm explaining it, so it's as terrible as this movie.
Oh. So we meet the family, a dad, a mom, a little girl with a stuffed monkey, which comes into play later on, and a boy who's super excited because he has a house with a wrestling ring, which I would have been.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would have totally been into that.
He hits the ropes and starts taking bumps.
Yeah.
Wrestling in the Invisible Man, Disco Inferno's favorite gimmick.
He falls that like backwards out of the ring or something, doesn't he?
I think
like he does like pratfall or something. He's just like, whoa, I'm not experienced and I'm a kid, and falls backwards or something.
They explore the place. They explain how they have to make a profit.
They find all the costumes. They
sell it. Yeah, there's a bunch of costumes in there. Yeah. They tell the story of the ill maniac.
Yeah. The Ill Maniac.
Which sounds like a Nas album.
Yeah. Sounds like what this movie did to me. It made me ill and turned me into a maniac because I was like, why is this happening? Why are dogs talking? Why is it wrestling? Fuck, I hate life. It was just a lot of that.
Yeah, so it explained to him what happened and how this used to be the biggest wrestling company in all of Portland, and then Vince McMahon came and bought out all their wrestlers. I don't remember what his name was, but it was fucking Cliff from Cheers, and his name
was something. Yeah, it was Ratzenberger.
Yeah.
I can't think of his first name.
It's Cliff from Cheers, though, right?
Yeah.
I could always get Cliff and Norm
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, Ratzenberger is awesome. He was good in the movie because he's a good actor.
Yeah, and he was probably like the best part of the movie, and he was the villain.
Yeah, he was better than Will Sasso and Johnny Nitro.
Oh, man. I could have killed Johnny Nitro. I could have killed him.
He needs to relinquish his wrestling license like right
now. I wanted to kill Fred Willard, but only as a mercy killing to get him out of this terrible, horrible shit.
Fred Willard really needs to fire his agent.
Oh my god.
He should have fired him like 15 years ago, but
yeah.
Like, Fred Willard, your agent is doing you no favors. He's
not doing him any favors, none at all.
Yeah, Vince McMahon buys out the territory and the big, what was his name? Max Ferraro?
Maximilian Ferraro. They made it a point to bring in the stereotypical Italian accent. Yeah. This is my question about the dad in this flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he leave with his family?
I think that was a grandpa, though, right? They kind of fucked it up a few times. That was his dad, or was it his grandpa?
I think, I don't know, I just thought it was his dad.
Maybe it was his dad, too, and then at one point he refers to him as his grandpa, which would make sense why he wouldn't leave.
Yeah, that would make more sense, but, you know, this movie was not big on plot points and storytelling. Yeah, on proper storytelling. So
if this is a chaperone, they would explain everything ad nauseum.
Oh, yeah, they would have made sure you fucking understood it. because, you know, you need everything spoon-fed to you. But I don't know why, because it just bugged me. Because I was like, because I thought when I thought he was his dad, I was just like, why aren't you leaving with your family? Why do you have to send them away? If Vince McRatzenberger isn't, like, coming to kill you. Why did he? I just did. That was when I thought it was his dad, but you're right. It probably was his grandpa because the dude was pretty old.
Yeah.
Even still, I don't understand why he had to send. Did he just die in there? Did he live in the fucking arena? These are the questions.
The arena was like pretty much their home. Like it had beds and shit.
Yeah, because the greatest tag
The greatest tag team is family.
You movie. Oh, like the sweet parts were so like diabetic in this movie. Like it, I literally felt like I had to fucking had to have an insulin shot after some of this shit because it got schmaltzy.
So we go back to the pet store and Russell's now a bigger dog and this fat dude that looks like a bear porn actor picks him up and gets peed on right in the face.
Yeah.
To send him to the pound. And they explain what the pound is. One Pomeranian explains it to him. And so the weird, nerdy black kid says, I'll adopt Russell. And so before he can adopt him, Russell gets the fuck out of there. He does like a triple moonsault, Jack Evans flip, kicks the fat dude in the face and runs the fuck out of the pet store. And black dude's like, I just adopted him. I filed the paperwork.
Oh, what happened? Did my dog do like a 450 splash out of the cage and then kick you in the face? I knew this would happen. This is so common. This is so common among dogs. Jesus. This movie. Fuck you, movie. And honestly, I didn't even see that part. I had looked away for like a minute. And he was in the alley.
Yeah, he did a flip and kicked him in the face.
The Russell Tussle.
The Russell Tussle.
Russell Tussle, baby.
That's what I'm calling my dick from now on. Just because you lost a round doesn't mean you lost a match, by the way. I just want you to remember that line. So Russell's on the streets and he's hanging out behind his restaurant, which is also behind the wrestling arena.
Yeah,
eating steaks and being picked on by a bulldog. Oh, by the way, there's a monkey in the movie. We talked about that.
Yeah,
The monkey meets a little girl.
It's been like ninja following them the entire time they've been there.
No one has seen this monkey at all except the little girl, and she kept a secret because the monkey had a tea party with her.
Yeah, and the monkey, guess what, can talk.
Yeah.
Did we mention the mouths move on these animals? Did we mention that? Weird. Because they fucking move on these animals. It's not Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, where you're just like hearing their thoughts because, you know, that makes a lot more sense.
For the record, Jim does not like talking animal movies. He hated Babe and he hated Babe 2, Pig in the City even more.
I liked Babe, but
Babe 2, Pig in the City is a better movie.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Because
George Miller directed it. The man behind Mad Max Fury Road. So
George Miller directed it?
Yes, he did.
Oh, shit. Did you hear they're coming out with a documentary on the Justice League movie that never got made?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, the one that George Miller was supposed to do. And there's been like a bunch of...
I read that script.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Was it a good script?
No.
Was it better than Russell Madness?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it was pretty much like you got Wally West and Flash dies and he becomes the Flash in the end. It started at one scene and then jumped to like the middle of the movie. There wasn't enough Batman, so.
So yeah, instantly, who cares? But they've been putting out a lot of production designs that were done for that movie, like costume designs, like Wonder Woman, and the cast molding for Martian Manhunter and shit.
Okay.
They look really good. The one of Aquaman looks really good. I know this has nothing to do with this movie, but you brought up George Miller and that made me think of that, so I had to tell you.
So they're running a wrestling show at the arena while the monkey is saving Russell from the bulldog to try to steal his food.
Yeah.
The British bulldog, by the way, because he has a British accent and he's a bulldog.
It's Matilda.
Yeah. Hard times have fallen upon Matilda.
Hard times have fallen upon Matilda, daddy.
Since Bobby the Brain Heenan kidnapped her.
And then fucking Big Boss Man cooked her and fed her to Al Snow.
That was Pepper, which is a chihuahua. Now, next, we're going to be watching Beverly Hills Chihuahua if you keep interrupting me, nigga Jim. Wait till you see that shit. Beverly Hills Chihuahua Part 2.
The big boss man should fucking kill and eat this fucking dog. But not really, because the dog's cute. I can't deny that.
Jack Russell Terriers are my favorite kind of dog, by the way. I always wanted a Jack Russell Terrier, just like Wishbone, because Wishbone can read books. And I want a dog to read to me.
Wishbone. I forgot about Wishbone.
Yeah.
Fucking book reading dog.
Yeah.
See, books. But when they start wrestling, that's when I have to say, stop it. and you're not a cartoon? Stop it. Because this whole should have just been an animated cartoon.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't have been an Air Bud production.
Very true. Air Bud Entertainment. Oh, Air Butt, more like it.
Yeah, so Fred Willard and a black man are your color commentators. Fred Willard is dressed like a weird Jim Ross gay cowboy.
Yeah. And the black guy is dressed like a black guy.
Yeah, so we have Nails versus a surfer.
Yeah, then this guy's like crushing cement blocks over his head and... The fucking owner, the owner, their dad that owns the fucking place clearly doesn't know anything about not sticking your head out of the curtain and when you're in gorilla position. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe don't fucking break the illusion, guy. And then he goes out in front of everybody and is like negotiating for this surfer to go into the ring and fight this guy.
Yep, gives him a bunch of money and the surfer dude gets his ass whooped.
Yeah.
And then Nails beats up the referee.
Yeah. And throws him out in a cartoonish style.
Yeah.
Like rocketed him halfway across this fucking arena. And then
they do your basic movie made by people that don't know anything about wrestling moves. So a lot of airplane spins.
A lot of like things to do with the butt. the clown that fucking bounced on his ass and then like went like all the way over the fucking over the ropes in the flashback.
Yeah. See, wait till we talk about the jump cut battle royal later on in the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the Russell's running from the Bulldog, the British Bulldog, and then he gets in the ring and they're like, "Oh, the dog's in the ring." He said, "Just go with it. Let's just go with it." Dog does the fucking triple flip, chains, Nails catches him. He gets pissed in the mouth, right in the fucking mouth. And then he gets put in a rear naked choke.
He gets choked out by a dog, ladies and gentlemen. Choked out by a dog. Where the dog doesn't even have his arms wrapped around his throat or anything. The dog is literally just holding onto his shoulders. And then in the wide shot, it's a stuffed dog, like a blatant stuffed dog, just attached to this guy's back, and he's got to be like, oh, dog!
Well, I'm looking at a picture now, and the hands were clearly around the neck. I mean, I saw it. But I saw it. Yeah. The dog put him in a sleeper hold. Or, no, he put him in a rear naked choke, because he choked him out.
Who booked this crap? Oh my god.
Yeah, so the dog has the Brock Lesnar knockout finish gimmick. So he only beats people by knockout.
Yeah.
He always pins people on their stomach.
Yeah.
Which counts as a submission hold.
Which, you know, according to fucking whatever fuck her name is in WWE,
Cameron.
Cameron. It's totally okay to pin somebody on their stomach. Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So the dog gets YouTube famous, and they say YouTube at least 17 times.
Yeah.
And like
constantly, like in a row, they kept saying YouTube
and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Like fuck off. We know what year it is. God damn it.
Yeah. Despite you being inside this old building.
Yeah. So the monkey gets everybody to come into the arena and says, "Hey, we're going to train this dog to wrestle, and he's going to be a star."
And he's not going to be. Well, in the context of the movie, he's a star, but no.
Oh, shit. I think I found a theme song to WrestleMania.
Uh-oh.
I wonder if you can hear this. So this is a song we hear while they do his training montage.
Him and the kid are going through training. A monkey is training them to wrestle, by the way.
Yep.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Teaching them how to take flatbacks and tuck and rolls and Hindu squats.
How to do flying wire drop kicks. You know, the basics. The basic building blocks of wrestling. To make sure you're hooked to a line and wheeled across the ring in a drop kick motion.
I'm actually looking at a poster for the movie when it was called WrestleMania. And that's pretty funny because, like, they knew that this, they knew it was supposed to be called WrestleMania, but they got fucking told, that shit ain't going far. Because the logo's exactly the same as the WrestleMania logo, just with the Russell in front.
Well, yeah, because there's kids wearing the t-shirts in the movie that it's WrestleMania, and it's clearly the fucking WrestleMania font.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so look for that when you watch this shitty movie, if you ever do. So, let's see, where are we at?
So he's, next up,
training montage.
Yeah, so Russell's all trained up. His name is the WrestleManiac. Are you looking at your notes?
Yeah.
Oh, please take me there, Jim. Take me there.
I kind of just stopped taking notes after a little while. So I was like, this movie's too dumb to even write anything down for. Who was it? Was it the girl or was it the dog? I think it was the dog that said he wished on a wishing star.
The dog did wish for a family.
Because he wanted a family. And the monkey that can talk is telling him...
We forgot to explain why the monkey can talk.
Oh, right. Because he was a fucking lab experiment.
Yeah, so that's why he can talk.
So how does that account for all... But and here's how it accounts for all the other animals, is that this monkey is fluent in canine and cat and squirrel, whatever the fuck other...
So they're like, hey, monkey, why can you talk? It's like, oh yeah, I was in a lab experiment where they try to make monkeys talk. Monkey see, monkey do. They have to throw that reference in there. And so like, oh, so how do you know what Russell says? Like, I speak dog. And they were just like, okay. They just accepted it because...
Yeah, they just accept it. But then...
Of course he speaks dog. Why would he not speak dog?
But then this fucking dog says that he wished on a wishing star. And this fucking monkey is like, oh, I don't believe in that. That's a bunch of bullcrap. What a bunch of bananas or something, you know? Like, I'm sure that's something he fucking said.
Yeah. It probably was a banana reference. He doesn't go in one scene that he's talking and he doesn't mention a banana. Or a barrel of monkeys.
Yeah, I was thinking, for a talking monkey, you're not very open-minded when it comes to somebody saying, yeah, you know, I wish for this. You'd think you'd have more of an open mind if you're a monkey that can talk. And be like, oh, yeah, wishing stars. Yeah, I've heard of them. Hey, let's go eat bananas.
So next up, we had a battle royale with a fucking mummy, the Yeti from WCW.
Yeah.
Throwing people over the top rope. He threw a guy over the top rope, and it jump cuts to him in the trash can. Like, the worst jump cut ever. It's like he's flying, and a cut, he's in a trash can.
Yeah. It was like almost like Three Stooges or some shit.
Yep.
And let's not forget that he fucking, of course, fucking grabbed one part of the mummy's wrapping and
So the battle royale was so he can get a shot at WrestleManiac.
Wrestling Mania.
Wrestling Madness. And so Puppy comes out, grabs a wrap, and then pulls it until he unravels to the point where his unraveling makes him exhausted, and that counts as a victory.
Yeah, he's dizzy. The dog doesn't pin him, and he won.
Yeah.
Way to go, Russell.
Ref stoppage.
And he's like the dog version of Goldberg, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose.
So Mick Vaughn shows up, and he's more interested in entertainment than wrestling. He says, I want to buy that dog. Yeah. And the dad says no.
Vince McRatzenberger.
Yeah.
Because, like, they weren't even trying to hide the fact that, like, oh, yeah, if it's a wrestling promoter, then he has to look like Vince McMahon. And he has to be, like, super Lex Luthor-y kind of evil.
And then the building inspector shows up. He's like, I didn't order any building inspection. I thought it was Janine Garofalo.
But I didn't. Yeah, and she, I don't know what accent she was going for, dude. She was all over the place. Like, she was trying to sound uptight, but it sounded French. But then in that French, it sounds like German. And then in the Germans, it's a, pick an accent, lady. Pick an accent and stick with it. It was so stupid. You're like, oh, well, I, you know, it just, like, she wanted to be British and French and German and be uptight all at the same time, and it didn't work. She was annoying.
Yeah, and she the building is not up to code.
She opened up pipes, and apparently their pipes are filled with nacho cheese. Because that's what fucking nacho cheese or Nickelodeon gack, because that's what fucking came, like, pouring out of the pipe.
I only saw the part where she electrocuted herself with the circuit breaker.
Yeah, it was like some nasty, like, orange fucking goop that fucking came out of these pipes that looked like it was like nacho cheese or gack or like the green custard that used to be in the Ninja Turtle pies, or like, it was disgusting. It was fucking gross.
So Zad has no choice but to sell out to the World United Wrestling United Federation, World
Wrestling Federation. United Federation, yeah. The WUF.
Yeah, it's probably saying that three times fast. Fuck
you, movie.
The WUF.
Yeah, that, yeah. Like, oh, that was annoying, having to hear them say that name of that company.
Yeah.
Having a U after a W. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. This whole movie just was like, my God. It wanted to be, it was trying to be funny. It's not funny. You're not funny. Just stop it. Stop trying to make jokes. These jokes aren't landing.
Well, the dad signs over Russell to the
WUF.
And so, while
also talking to the monkey, which nobody else can hear, apparently.
Yeah. Well, but they just think it's him, even though they have a different voice.
They're standing right in front of him. The monkey's right on his shoulder. And the monkey, at least as far as the fucking voice actor is concerned, is not whispering. Will Sasso's not trying to whisper. He's talking at, like, full fucking volume.
Yeah.
And it, nobody's like, oh, wow, talking monkey.
What this I don't understand is why didn't Will Sasso do this in his Hulk Hogan voice?
I don't know.
That would have made this a slightly better movie.
Is Hulk Hogan or is Jesse Ventura?
Either or.
The
monkey was named Hunk. So if it was named Hunk and sounded like Hulk, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, would have made sense. It would have been at least marginally funny.
Yeah.
Hear fucking, oh, brother, to hear that coming out of a tiny monkey. That might actually be kind of fun. Give me a banana, dude.
So, yeah, so Russell's a multimedia celebrity now, appearing on magazines. Yeah. It says, bark, bark, who's there? Russell Maniac.
Yeah, and all these, like, horrible fucking fake magazine titles. He does
the Russell Tussle on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On fake Jimmy Fallon.
Yep. The song Russell Tussle plays. Which I wonder.
Which I am hoping that you'll put at the end or beginning of this show when we're done.
If I could find the Russell Tussle theme song, I probably would, but I can only find the Russell Maniac theme song.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Jim. Sorry to disappoint. No Russell Tussle.
Too bad.
Oh, shit. Don't play that video.
Yeah. The Daily Bone, I remember, was one of the fucking.
Awesome.
Like, that didn't even sound like a dog magazine.
Yeah. So, Russell's booked in a title match against Johnny Nitro, Johnny Mundo, John Morrison.
And he's the hammer.
Yeah, he's the hammer. Who does his Johnny Nitro pose, but then does like a hammering thing? It says
hammers to his fist.
Yeah.
In time with the music. So he has a match with old Russell. And
they have a weigh-in in a staring contest where Russell kisses him. I guess referencing the Floyd Mayweather
thing. Yeah, and surprisingly not pissing on him.
Yeah, he didn't piss on Johnny Nitro.
You would have thought in this entire movie if he was going to piss on anybody.
So Vince McMahon tells Johnny Nitro that he has to do the job. And I think that was the only time I heard the term gimmick in this whole movie. They say gimmick once when they're talking about the monkey and the kid. Like, you can't do that gimmick.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, at least they know one thing about wrestling. Like, it would have killed them to do, like, a little research.
Yeah, wrestling. They had at least three wrestlers on the set of this movie, so.
Yeah, like, I get what they're going for with being, you know, just a silly-ass movie, but.
This is not a movie being sold to the general public. This is a movie that's going to sit in Best Buy and be bought by 5-year-old kids that are fans of wrestling and
know how wrestling works. Poor parents. It's going to be bought by poor parents to bring home and be like, look, I got your kids a movie, and the kids are poor. They don't know any better. Like, they're going to be like, oh, wrestling, dog, this is my favorite movie ever. And then they're going to become like really shitty adults.
Because they watch this movie as kids. What's going to happen to us? Because we watch this as already shitty adults.
Yeah, but we've already, I mean, we're poor, but we've already seen like a bunch of movies, so we're fine.
Yeah, I saw like, the real Air Bud like five times in fucking third grade.
We can't get any more maladjusted than we already are. So, yep. I mean.
so this movie. Instead of doing a job, Johnny Nitro pulls out a dog whistle and fucks with Russell's equilibrium and then pins him without his shoulders being on the mat. He was kind of laying sideways.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count as a real pin.
Being a real stickler about this fucking the work in this match.
I would assume Johnny Nitro would know how to pin a fucking dog.
Yeah, you would think.
Put the dog on his goddamn back and pin him.
Yeah. Well, even then, I don't think you can't, because a dog's, like, whenever you put a dog on their back, their fucking arms are up like this. So, and you can't really, like, flatten a dog's arms out.
He could have cradled them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he did what he could. We're not, we're critiquing the match that happened within this movie. Like, oh, terrible work rate in this movie, you know? It's just nobody sold anything. It's like watching Elimination Chamber.
So Hammer explains to Cliff that the reason he didn't do the job was because the rematch is going to draw so much more money. And he's like, hey, you do have some brain in between those ears or some shit. And Russell overhears that all the other fucking guys were paid off to do the job to Russell.
Yeah. Bringing in the you know, wrestling is fake kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the monkey is convinced that, like, no, this is all real. You gotta believe in yourself or whatever, you know.
Oh, by the way, while they were on the road, the dad didn't spend time with his family at all. And his son had a birthday, and he missed their anniversary and shit.
Yeah. And what alarmed me is that the monkey told the dad, what happens on the road stays on the road. What fucking shenanigans did this dude and his monkey get up to? Where the monkey's got to be like, hey, man, don't say anything about this. What happens out on the road, it stays on the road.
I mean, you've been there, Jim. Lonely nights in hotel rooms, well, you and your monkey.
Right, yeah. Right, riding the roads. I'll see your ass down the road.
Yeah, you know that.
Fucking.
That monkey show you all kind of love and tenderness.
It was fucking, they were like gathering up like all fucking the groupies and shit. After the show, the monkey's fucking women, the dad's fucking women. the like, monkey's like fucking Big the Mom's
like, hey, you want to go out to the club? He's like, nah, man, I'm cool. I'm going to stay at home and chill with my monkey.
With my monkey. Come back and get really high and drunk with my monkey.
Yeah.
With me and my monkey. Just smoking, drinking, and chilling. So, yeah, that part just stood out to me.
Let's wrap this shit up. So, Mick Vaughn tries to take him away. Say, hey, you sold the dog off to me. And then Black Kid shows up like, hey, I actually own this dog because I adopted him before he even, like, got in possession of a white family.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're like, all right, we're going to have a tag team match. I kind of glossed over this because I was watching good wrestling on my computer and playing SmackDown. But yeah, so they have a tag team match, Little Boy and Russell against Johnny Nitro and a yodeling guy, and a little kid cheated and should have got disqualified so many times because he pulled nose hair and kicked dudes in balls.
I think the entire organization should have been disqualified because they let a kid wrestle adults. What the hell? Like, he wasn't a sick kid. They weren't granting a wish to him. It was just weird. I was like, why are you letting this child wrestle? This is wrong. This probably shouldn't happen.
Did Johnny Nitro do the Starship Pain on the dog?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, he did. And then the dog rolled out of the way because the dog had earplugs. They put earplugs in his ear. So when Johnny Mundo tried to do the dog whistle, and thought he was down for the count and then did Starship Pain, and the dog rolled out of the way and got up on top of him. Or he may have done the Russell Tussle.
I think he hit the Russell Tussle and then pinned him.
I don't know. I don't fucking care. He pinned him. You find out he's got earplugs in. The greatest tag team is family.
Yep. Credits.
Christ. Oh, no, not before you realize that they take you back to the beginning of the movie where the kid is now grown up and the dog is still the same dog and not aged a day.
Yeah, I was confused by that because I'm like, who was his tag team partner that he was with at the beginning of the movie? And I was like,
that dog would have either been just really old or really close to death by the time that kid reached that age.
Or he's a really good worker.
I guess. Took his doggy vitamins and drank his doggy milk. For all the little Russell maniacs out there.
So that was WrestleMania, a family classic for families.
For families to hate each other while watching.
We have a barometer. Was it better or worse than the Chaperone? I feel it was better than the Chaperone.
I think it was better than the Chaperone. I mean, it looked better.
Mm-hmm.
But I still would rather watch the Chaperone than have to watch this ever again.
I wouldn't want to watch either one again. Because I think we're giving the Chaperone a little bit too much credit because that movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Like, we're grading the shit on a giant shit scale, you know? So it's like the reading barely matters. I would suggest, I don't know, I would suggest watch it and lose your mind for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then do what I did. Go and watch a real Russell, Kurt Russell, in Big Trouble in Little China, just to cleanse your brain out after watching this.
Starring The Rock.
Yeah, starring The Rock, which is insane. That movie's not going to be near as good as the original. I think we all know that. I mean, come on. But, so Russell Madness. How about that?
Russell Madness. That's been our show this week. We got to get the fuck out of here because it's bedtime for Bonzo's. Mm-hmm. Another monkey joke in there.
Bananas.
What's our plug shit, Jim? RockWrestlingPodcast.podomatic.com is our website.
Yep, that's our website. Go there, download it like a man.
Yeah, Kyle. What the fuck?
This show like a man directly from the website. got our email account, Rock and Wrestling
Podcast
at gmail.com. Okay.
Boom. Got it. Well, Twitter?
And, got it. At Rock Wrestling PC.
Yep, at Rock Wrestling PC. That's the Twitter. Nigger Jim's Twitter is at Sweet Jim Reaper because he's so sweet.
Too sweet. And Ninja Tyler Black's Twitter handle is at Ninja Tyler Black. And if you want to follow Myman, at Myman Fishbomb.
At Myman Fishbomb.
And
at Fanarchist.
At Fanarchist. Follow him. At PC Bearcat. Follow Ross. Follow his brother at Omega Rex. I'm just plugging all my friends' Twitter accounts. Follow Smug Dingus at Smug Dingus.
Who is Smug Dingus?
Yeah, I've never met this dude, but I like him.
He's from KC, right?
Yeah. I like him. He's funny.
I don't know who the fuck that nigga is. Fuck yeah, Smug Dingus. Hashtag sucking nigga dick.
he's a good Twitter brother.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podcast Addict. That's my favorite podcast app. Podbean, maybe. I don't think so. I don't think that's a thing. But yeah, any podcast app that you may have that you think might be able to get the show, it can get the show.
Yeah, and rate us a high number.
Yeah, give us one of those thumb ups or a 5-star, because it's like 5-star Frog Splash is a wrestling move, and we talked about RVD earlier in this show.
So you kind of have your hands tied now. You really have to now.
We got to pick a new movie.
Oh, shit.
Now we got two choices. We can either do the other John Cena movie.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, there's a legendary one. Or we can do the other Triple H movie, Inside Out. Or we can do the Big Show movie.
Let's do the Big Show movie, because we've already done Cena, we've already done Triple H.
Okay.
We'll save them for later.
In 2 weeks, if my internet or electricity doesn't get cut off because of bills, hard times, daddy, if you will. In 2 weeks, we will be reviewing Knucklehead, starring the Big Show.
Well, it's the Big Slow. Who also came back last night? We didn't even mention that, because who cares?
And he's going to be in a movie with Dean Cain, so hopefully we can review that shit.
Yes! that one is going
to
be...
That's going to be the... We have to see that shit in theaters.
Yeah, if it's in a theater, yeah.
Man, we're going to the premiere of that shit. Hopefully we can do enough of these. By the time like the Dean Ambrose one comes out, we get invited to the premiere.
Yeah, they invite us to the red carpet premiere. And you'll see me and T-Bird up there.
Yeah.
Fucking... stunting in fucking suit.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Rockstar Spud money suit.
Yeah.
So for Nigga Jim, my name is Tyler Black, and it's been another episode of The Rock.
Yeah, wrestling.
Podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hell yeah.
You dumb son.